Confessions of a Trainwreck. Commandment number 126. Thou shalt remember that sometimes a breakup is a good wake-up. Dating in 2020 is a tough gig. One minute, you're sitting on a Zoom date trying to keep the spark alive with the guy you met on Hinge pre-lockdown, and the next, you're being ghosted by someone who is still watching all of your Instagram stories. Give love a go, they said. It'll be fun, they said. But instead of turning to the standard post-breakup routine of crying into a tub of Halo Top while streaming the Star Is Born soundtrack on repeat, I took it upon myself to write my own breakup guide a few years ago that my friends and I all swear by. But this week, it wasn't one of my girlfriends who needed it. It was one of my guy friends who needed it. A guy you already know. Welcome back, my good friend, podcaster, radio host, comedian, and recently single, and a catch at that, Shad Wicker.
We're rolling.
We're rolling. And we're back, and it's only been a couple of weeks since you were last on.
Yes. You're running out of guests, I see.
No. Yes. No,
COVID's
I'm
hit
kidding.
You real hard, hasn't it?
Really scraping the bottom of the barrel here. No, that's not true at all. And a few things have changed since the last time you were on.
Yeah.
One of them being your relationship status.
Yes. Yes.
Which I'm sorry about.
Yeah.
That you've been through a breakup.
I have, yes.
Just another
COVID strikes again.
Scooter to the shins in 2020.
Fucking hell, mate. I'll tell you what, it's a scooter to the shins for, I'd say two to three years
yeah.
for me.
Yeah, you've had a bit of a rough trot. But you were together for what, 3.5 years?
Yes. And we are, it's amicable. Which
we've spoken about before, almost makes the situation harder.
Yeah, amicables, it's great. It's so good. It sucks.
I'm
fine. It's the worst. Yeah. It's so like it's you know, we're very good. Because I think like the way we're getting real into me straight away. But my like relationship just kind of nothing bad happened. No one like stuffed anything up massively. It was just kind of ran its course, I think, in a sense.
But I think that also makes the breakup harder because if one person's done something, at least there's a lot of resent and anger and hate initially. And I think that makes it, as much as it hurts, it makes it easier to be able to like sever ties with that person for a while.
Yeah, well, this is a thing I've been working on, funnily enough, on stage. And it's like, it's been funny seeing the reaction because I think it's extremely relatable to people because I'm like, yeah, we're doing the amicable thing because that's going to be easier.
Mm.
And me and my now ex, Tara, had the same comment when we were doing the breakup, which was, you know, and, you know, the tears and all that kind of stuff was happening, but we were both kind of like, man, it's like this would be so much easier if, like, someone had done something fucked. Because the thing I've been doing on stage is I'm like, man, amicable, like, it's easy. I'm like, yeah, you know what's hard, like, organizing a removalist together so that you can like help me move my stuff out. I was like, you know, it's easy. You lighting my shit on fire on the front lawn for the neighbors to hear. Like messy's easy. You know what I mean? Like
100%.
I think like her and I said, well, like, it was like, geez, you know, it'd be easy if you like staying friends is hard. Easy is you fucking one of mine. So I don't have to care about your feelings. Yes.
That's so true though, and that's what I mean. Amicable is the hardest.
Because you worry, because it's like, I think in a breakup you worry about yourself, but because you've been in a situation where you've been thinking about each other, like two people for so long, you then also worry about, are they okay?
Yeah.
And that slows, I think, your spots out. And when you...
And you're grieving almost.
Yeah, and I think like in my situation it was a lot that contributed to it, and obviously I can't, like, it's not just my story to share, so I'm not going to go too in depth, but
no, because I've got stuff to say too.
Yeah but I think like for mine there was an area of, you know, I hadn't been, as you know, like being mates, I hadn't been very happy for a while. And I think one of the challenges when you're in a relationship is like
you take that on in the other person. And it's very hard to see your partner be visibly upset, but there's only so much you can do to help that person. And I think someone's own happiness is obviously, it directly affects the other person.
Yeah, and I think Yeah, and I think as being the person that is like not having the good time is that it's hard to be everything for someone when you can't be something for yourself.
Yeah.
So it's like
that's deep.
Yeah, that's pretty profound.
I know.
So it's
I was not expecting you to say that.
Yeah, that's pretty good, isn't it? I have a couple in me, but and I think that was kind of where. You know, that was one of the many facets of why this probably fizzled out a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I can't really comment on that because I've never had an amicable breakup before.
So you've had easy ones.
I've had easy ones.
Yeah, yours have been fucking cinched. So
the breakup guy.
Yeah, that's
you
sick.
Cheated, you little fuck. Oh. You said you love me.
How good are they? I've had some fucking rough.
Easy. Yeah. The band, it's done for you.
Yeah, man.
Like, you don't have to make the hard call.
If you're listening now, if you're a train, what are your fans called? Train wrecks?
Train wrecks.
If you're a train wreck listening now and you've been cheated on and it hurts and it sucks, just think of it like this, though. Fuck, so much easier. Like, because, like, now you know for a fact there is zero fucks in that
given.
Kind of, yeah, yeah, like zero. There is nothing
as
left.
As the script says, when a heart breaks, no, it don't break even.
Yeah.
Definitely if you've been cheated
like,
on.
Like, man, convert that sadness to hate, girl, and you will move on so quick.
Channel it into the gym, get that revenge. But anyway, which brings me to the whole point of this episode, is...
So I was treating it as a therapy session.
Oh, it's fine. I'm glad you went there. And we're sitting on a couch. We're actually lying on a couch too. So, like, I'm glad that you feel comfortable enough to share that with me and with us.
That's right.
Also, for anyone in Brisbane, Shad is single, so feel free to slide into his DMs. I'm Dr. Love now. So anyway, back to the point. So a couple of years ago, my friend went through a breakup. She was broken up with by this guy that she'd been dating for a couple of months in Messenger. Like, it was just the most random situation.
Right.
But it was a classic, like, millennial move. You know, it's all like these technological, digital, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty dog move.
I got broken up by text when I was like 15.
Yeah, in high school.
Yeah,
right?
Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Coward's way out.
Not in your late 20s.
If you're listening, Hannah, you bitch.
I'm still not over you.
Yeah, it was clean.
So to help her kind of through this breakup, being like the writer that I am, this is a very Carrie Bradshaw, Sex and City style thing for me to do.
It does sound like it, yeah.
I wrote an article because at the time I was writing for Elite Daily. You know that New York-based website, Elite Daily?
Yeah.
I wrote an article for them called The Millennial Guide to a Breakup. And this is targeted at girls. So I'm going to go through the four steps that I have that me and my girlfriends actually use during breakups.
I wonder how it's dated. How's it aged?
I mean, this is something that I would still use to this day.
Okay.
And I think that I'm just very interested to hear a guy's perspective on it.
All right.
And it may be of use to you now. It may not be of use to you now.
Okay, let's do it.
So, and bear with me because I pulled these dot points directly from one of the articles. So I have written like, it's not a long article, but I have written a little like.
You weren't getting paid per word.
I mean, I'd love to now. Pay me for anything.
Yeah.
So step number one is you turn to the group chat.
Okay.
When the breakup is rawer than the cookie dough and you're still stewing in phase one anger, you immediately turn to the group chat. This chat will be on duty 24/7 to provide you with the kind of support in the means of memes, emojis, and empowering proclamations about your level of queendom.
Yeah.
At any given time of the day or night, they're ready for every screenshot, rant, and drunk message that inevitably ensues. I can't even speak. Phase one of the breakup. And will retort with a number of very caring and supportive statements that will validate the shit out of you, including, babe, you're a 10, he's a 2, it's his loss, and the classic, to be totally honest, we didn't even like him that much anyway. God bless your group chat.
Yeah, right.
Are guys the same? Like, who was the first person that you told? Because I have a number of group chats on the go in my different friendship circles. And often, like, there's two in particular who I tell everything to. So they're kind of the first people I go to with big news, which obviously could include, like, a breakup.
Yeah. I think my mate Nick and my mate Coops. Coops is a girl. So... they were the first two. I think Coots was probably one of the first people I spoke to.
Mm-hmm.
A bit different though, because I think I agree there's definitely like a level of – I agree with the principle of like turn to the mates.
Yeah.
But I think also because when you're in a relationship, like just naturally a percentage of your mateship –
comes from your partner's friendship circle.
Yeah, and them.
Mm-hmm.
And like with my current situation, it was like I moved to Brisbane. So it was like all my – and COVID's on, so I can't go and see a lot of my mates. But, But I think the difference is, though, is I don't think the guy's chat is full of you're a 10 and he's, she's a 2 and that kind of shit. I think a natural knee-jerk reaction of guys, depending, not all fellas, but in my group I've got one mate that was like, well, now you're single, bro. Like, you know, how good? Yeah, and he's single. So it was like that guy's like,
so he's like rejoicing. That's what I want to know. I guess what are the statements that they give, like that guys give each other in this kind of scenario? It's so obviously not like you said before. I think you're a Danny's a do.
Now that I'm older, like as in now that I'm like 30s, like early 30s, I think the vibe's a little bit different because you've got mates that are in like different kind of – in my 20s, it would have been like, oh, fuck it, let's go, like do this, do that, rah-rah. But, yeah, you've got some mates that are like, fuck yeah, single, come and kick it. You've got other mates that are a little bit more, oh, man, that's a shame.
Here for you.
And then you have the one mate that's kind of like the optimistic, hey, maybe if you want to get it back together, like maybe. But there's definitely not a group chat full of like memes sharing and shit.
Oh, you are missing
out.
That
is not happening. That's definitely not happening.
But guys just share different information, hey? Like I talk about this often with another group of girlfriends that I have. Like guys don't share as much with each other that girls do. So like if – for example, I think you and I have even spoken about this before. Like, say we're both single right now and we went out and had a one-night stand with someone, whatever, and then what I would tell to my girlfriends would be vastly different to what you would tell to your guy friends. Like, girls want all the details, like everything. How did it happen? Who made the first move? What was his penis like? What was the sex like? How long did it last for? Was there foreplay? Was there this? Was there that? Whereas guys, it's just like you banged. Yeah, was it good? Yeah, move on. Yeah. Am I right?
Fucking oath.
That's like the level of detail that you go into.
I'll give you an example, and I think this may have been what I said to you once, because I was sitting at one of our work things once. And
that's right. There was a bunch of girls there.
Yeah, I was the only guy left at the table, and the girls' chat was, all the women must have forgotten I was there. And the conversation was about the dates that they'd had and the guys and rah-rah. And I had this realization that, okay, think right now if you're listening and you think about this too, it's like you kind of touched on it. Your friend goes and hooks up with a guy, right, has a night out, has sex with this guy. What are the odds that you will then know something to do with the aesthetics of his genitals?
Very high.
Yeah, you'll know what it looked like. You'll know what it looked like. You'll have some kind of idea. And to be honest, from my experience of listening, you'll fucking be able to draw it to a fucking sketch artist. And the cops will be able to get a drawing that'll go out on the back of fucking milk cartons.
Miss, was
that
this?
That dick will get found within 24 hours. Like the detail.
But on the other hand, if you had a wife, if your
people
friend.
People described missing children the way women describe dicks that they have seen. Fuck, we would find some people. Like, honestly.
So, but then, and again, this is like.
And here's the example for you. I don't know if you'll cut this out of the podcast, but like with dicks, there are different types of vaginas.
This is what my question was going to be. In your circle of friends, if one of your mates was to take a girl home, would you say like, oh, was she an innie or an outie? Or like.
So, and again. Innie, outie, half in, half out, they're all great. I've never met one I haven't enjoyed, right?
But that's pretty similar unless it's like a micro.
But
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We've all seen a micro.
Yeah. But
seen, not felt.
But I could count on one hand. To be honest, I can't – and that'd be generous. I can't even think at the moment at the top of my head of one person that has, but I imagine less than five times in my life have I had a mate that's hooked up with a girl and has described to me what a vagina looked like.
Yeah.
Now, is that because we don't share that, or is it because they don't care to find out? I think it's the share.
But also
we don't share that share.
Yeah, but also we're older now, and I think that
even
the
when
older
I was younger,
that you get, really?
Yeah, man. It's
like, I can say confidently my partner that I'm with now, when I first met him, definitely not a micro, but when I first met him, I didn't share intimate details.
So is that because you liked him? Is there a level? It's like if you think it's going to be multiple visits, you're like, I'm not going to share this information. Yep. Is that because you're worried if if you're into him, you don't want the girls to be like, oh, he's got a good one. Maybe that's an option for later.
And I also think that like when it's like relationship potential, you just don't share that stuff. Because, you know, like when you're in a relationship, that stuff is locked down.
Yeah.
That stuff that you don't talk about with your friends anymore. Like the intimate, unless it was like, you know, oh, we had like really great sex last night, but that's kind of as far as you go.
Yeah, well, that's kind of it because, like, I've got some mates that are very open about their, like, you know, they get around a bit and they're very promiscuous blokes and their stories, if it comes up, is, like, it's the where, who, what, where, why.
Yeah.
Very basic man-style stories, yeah. Whereas
it's not so much the logistics of the situation.
Yeah, women can find more inside each of those little categories, I think.
Oh, yeah.
The weather was this, and you know, he was wearing this coloured shirt and he looked at me this way.
And the thought that was going through my head when we made the move was...
Yeah, whereas the guy's like, oh, man, it was so good. It was like in the car, we're out the back. Like, remember that place down the road? That's where we did it. That's pretty cool, man.
Oh,
you're
out
here.
Yeah, sick, man. Maybe a woman's life would be far more simplified if that's what we just decided to do.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's what makes
you. We love the
you.
Details though, yeah. All right, let's move on to step two. Which is, and I know for a fact that you will not do this point, but you will not be at all surprised that I do.
Okay.
Make a playlist. Now, when I used to be a group fitness instructor, I used to make the most bomb.com playlist and people would comment on them and they'd always be very like timely. So around Christmas time, and because when you teach group fitness, you have to get an app that does like the music changes the BPM. So like if you're teaching a body attack class, it's like 165 beats per minute. So you can get this app that alters the BPM. So I'd get like Christmas carols at Christmas time and like it was all very like always themed. And one particular class, I was going through a horrific breakup and it was like, I will survive, break even, thank you next. And at the end of the class, one of the women actually came up to me and she's like, are you all right? Or are you like, are you going through a breakup? And I was like, I don't know. And I just started crying. But I have a breakup playlist on my Spotify that I share with my girlfriends.
That's interesting. Are you going to share it with me? Are you going to share the...
If you want it, it's available.
It?
Like,
what's
it helps
the,
me.
What's the playlist?
I'll have to send it to
you. You'll have to send
I'll
it to
I'll have
me?
To send it to you at some point. But it's songs like I Will Survive, Thank You Next, We Are Never Getting Back Together.
Oh, that's a classic.
Unbreak My Heart. Someone Like You.
Jesus Christ, Unbreak My Heart is a depressing song
well,
to be listening
Well, that's the
to.
Thing about this
Say
stuff.
You love me again. That is fucking depressing on
but
a breakup.
But that's also the thing about a breakup playlist is it's. I think it's so multifaceted because it explains different points of the breakup.
I will say this. I've slipped back to some music that like I've like definitely listened to some more mellowed out music since.
Like mellowed out or melancholied?
A little bit of melancholy, like Angus and Julia vibe, but like earlier, like Book Like This kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Which was when I was more into them anyway.
Is it because you're trying to tap into your feels or is that
yeah,
just
I think,
like...
To be yeah. honest, I think so. I think there's like a level of like, oh, I've got to sit in this instead of like trying to fly through the emotion. Like,
oh, so you're actively trying to going, be like Drake and hit, sit in your feelings.
Not so much Drake because I feel like Drake can write a breakup song about someone getting his name wrong on his coffee at Starbucks. Like that guy's songs are always about like she texted me, I texted back, and then she left a scene receipt on it. Ooh, beat, song, dance.
Also,
move.
Drake, like, check yourself. You're still single, and there's a reason why.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe you're coming on a bit too strong by like writing all these songs. Even Taylor Swift waited until they broke up to write the songs.
Exactly.
About
but then she was just doing it for the content, which is like, I get it, girlfriend, because I did that too for my podcast when I was single. I'd date people that I didn't even want to go on a date with, but I was like, oh, this is going to be an episode out of this. I'm going to go on the date.
I actually had an idea. I was telling my housemate Jules about this idea, but it sounded, I don't know, but I had this idea of a podcast where it's like, it's purely just a person going on dates. Like
That's
all
a brilliant
it is
idea for a podcast.
But it's the date.
100%.
So it's like
I mean, you'd have to get consent from the other person legally.
So you like, I don't know, you match on Tinder and you go on the date, but then the whole date is recorded, and then even the like they come back to the house to do like a post date conversation.
Amazing.
But then the sinister part underneath would be that like now that you're at the house and you're doing the podcast, it's like,
yeah. So the microphone has to go.
But as the listener, you'd have to guess as to whether like I wonder if they. Like, you know what I mean? Because like the episode
well also,
at the end, you'd be like, I wonder if they did.
But also, you'd have to be prepared to cut the ties after every date. Otherwise, the podcast would end.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when the season ends.
Exactly.
Got a relationship.
Podcast over. Okay, interesting. So maybe would you give yourself like half a point for that?
Yeah, I think, well, I love my, you know, I'm
it might not specifically be a breakup playlist as such, but it is a...
I lean into music. Into, I definitely yeah, get it back into my tunes.
Great. So that's a normal guy thing to do as well then.
Yeah.
Step three, GNO.
GNO.
It's a gal's night out.
Oh, okay, right. I thought that meant gyno, and I was like, I don't know. That's purely for you, ladies.
That definitely should be some point in there. Go and get your bits checked before you move on. But
girl's not out.
This is what I wrote in the article. When you've moved past anger and have now gotten into the acceptance phase, it's time for a night out with the gals. Yeah, the gals. Oh, whip out your secret weapon dress that gives you Kardashian-esque curves. Use the sympathy money that your parents gave you for groceries on a blow wave and get totally lit fam with your girl squad. If you don't upload a revenge photo to Instagram, which thanks to the champagne, perfectly disguises your internal melancholy to show him what is missing, did girls night out even happen? Bonus points if him or any of his friends like the picture. So at what point then do you go for a boys night out?
At any point. I think the other difference is mine isn't like deeply soaked in pettiness.
Well, girls, I can promise you it 100% is.
Yeah, no chance would I be bothering with the pettiness of putting up a fucking
photo. But then the boys know exactly what you're doing, don't they?
What do you mean?
Like if your ex right now was to upload a bikini pic to Instagram, would you be like, oh, she's thirst trapping?
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, I don't know. It's not my vibe anymore at all, actually. I've never really been I think like when I finally get to the point of being like, oh, it's over and it's done.
Maybe this is the grey area because you've had an amicable breakup. But if she'd cheated on you, for example, would you like...
Okay, well, I could cast my mind back to when that happened.
Yeah, okay.
And even then it was just... I'm a very... When it's like messy, I'm just like, oh, it's done.
Yeah.
Like, and then, because when I was cheated on and that, it was a shitty kind of weird relationship in that it had kind of dragged on for a long time. And then, you know, it was a weird, like a lot of secrecy and all that kind of shit that when it all kind of came to, I just had this kind of snap back realization of like, oh, you're fucked.
Mm.
And you're a horrible person. And I don't want to have anything to do with you.
Mm.
And when that realization happened, then the idea of having to put a post up that had any kind of, like nothing I did from that moment on even had a slither of a, like that person didn't even occupy a tiny part of my mind.
That's really mature of you because I'm not like that. I'm a leech. I just suck everything out and cling on for dear life.
Whatever motivates you, girl.
Whatever keeps you going.
Well, but I'll definitely go out. I'll definitely have a big night out.
Yeah.
Because the other
have
thing
you done
well
that
is,
yet?
My good mate who's taken me in because I had to move out of my house is in the kitchen. We went out for his 30th, but we haven't had a proper, have we, Jules?
I'd say the 30th was a proper
night. Oh, I don't think it was a good enough nudge.
6:30 a.m. is exactly it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, that's a good 6:30 nudge.
6:30 a.m. was a pretty good nudge, but I've got more in me.
Oh, it hasn't come out yet.
Nah, I can do a few more parties.
A BNO.
That sounds weird. Sounds gross.
It sounds sexual.
It sounds like a more intense BO. Oh, he's got BNO.
Mm. And then my final point, which I mean, I think that you will agree with this one too. Step four is a revenge body. And maybe not so much a revenge body, but you have recently joined the gym. And like, I know that I definitely do it and I know most girls do it. They turn to the gym during a breakup and like some kind of crash diet to try and get your bod back because obviously we all know you do tend to let yourself go a little bit in the fitness and looks department when you do get into a relationship.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is... comments. You know, you get a little bit softer. But I feel like that is one of the first... And maybe that directly for a girl correlates with the revengeogram, like the revengeabot and the revengeogram.
Yeah, I see.
To like show him what he's missing. Even if he was the one that cheated on you, it's like, you don't have this anymore. He doesn't care.
Jeez, you made that sound really bogan.
You don't have this anymore, Jaden.
Well, thank fuck. Sorry, Jaden's, but
I. Yeah, no, like, well, I think, like, to link it back to what I said at the beginning of this was, like, I think one of the other reasons, the main reason for me, like, going to the
gym
more.
So have we said that yet, that you recently joined the gym?
Yeah. Or no, well, we haven't said that, but I have. Your gym.
Yeah.
But there's a few reasons why that's happened. One, the convenience of it being right around the corner from where I live right now.
Yeah.
The other is like I said at the beginning, of, like, the idea of just the not being in a good space.
Mentally.
And I think, like, it makes sense. Like, you feel better.
Yeah.
And then if you feel better, you feel a bit more confident. And if you feel a bit more confident, then you don't give a fuck about, like, when you're confident, you don't allow other people to dictate your happiness.
Mm.
So, like, if you can get yourself into that level of confidence where other people aren't in control of what makes you happy, which is where you were, and not in a bad way, not to say relationships are bad like that, but before you get with someone, one of the things of being in a relationship is you give that power to another person.
Yeah.
And when you're on your own for so long, you build, everything about you is built off you.
Yeah.
Your view of yourself, your, like, you know, like you said, what makes you happy, what makes you feel good about yourself.
Your whole schedule and your whole, you don't have to not answer to anybody, but you don't have to compromise on how you're spending your time or your money or your whatever it is.
And you've handed, by getting a relationship, you've handed over to someone, which is a very, like, important part to it, and you should do that, is, like, you're giving someone this kind of level of control over, yeah, like, over how you feel about yourself. Because, like, how harsh is it if someone that you care about says that you know, are dumb or you're ugly or whatever? Like, that's fucked, right?
Mm.
But before you got with that person, no one was able to really dictate that to you except for you. So coming out of, like, a relationship, and added with where my headspace was towards the end of it anyway, was I needed to get that kind of mindset back.
Mm.
And logical way is going to the gym and feeling a bit better. One, because you're too – I also feel like when you're exhausted, you're too exhausted to feel unhappy.
100%.
Being unhappy is a lot of effort. That's why when you get really depressed, anyone who's suffered from it before, you, a lot of the shit, like, a lot of your activities, a lot of your social part disappears because you just feel so tired.
Yeah.
And because it's so draining being down. That, like, when you, like, when you get exercise, you get flogged.
Oh,
and you're so tired. You're too 100%. Tired to be upset about it. Mm. Like,
that's why I've often said on this podcast before, the reason I have such a tight schedule all the time is because I don't like sitting in my feelings.
Idle hands.
So the busier I am, the less time I have to stop and think about how my life
but I
and
would
why
say
it
that,
is where it is.
I would also say that the level that you've got it at is probably unhealthy. Like, you do need to take a moment and assess and be like, because, fuck, there's a reason you feel sad. Like, after a breakup, after anything, there's a reason you feel sad. Like, your body does it for a reason.
Yeah.
There's, like, it's a part of your recovery. It's a part of, like, your reset. So you have to, like, encounter it, accept it, and address it.
Yeah.
But, like, the idea of going to the gym and getting fitter is, like, feeling better about yourself. And, like I said, taking that control of your happiness and your confidence back for you again, because now it is all on you again. There's not another person to kind of pick you up and whatever.
Mm.
So to get that back. And then if a byproduct of that is being able to take my shirt off at the beach and
have
some ladies enjoy that, then, oh, whoops, oh, well, I guess that happened.
And if a photo just happens to find its way onto Instagram with my rig.
If there's a story where I happen to be shirtless, then I guess it happens. But to be honest, with
and
a rig
I'm
like this, it'll be a while.
I'm asking you to slide into my DMs. Yeah. I am baiting you.
But, you know, go get it, girl. Get it, girl. Do them squats.
Get it, girl. All right, 100%. Then to round out the episode.
I'll get my revenge booty.
Well, you will. We were just talking before about the amount of goddamn hip thrusters there are in an F45 class.
Yeah, man, you'll see the poolside photos of me with my ass cheeks pulled up on the edge.
That means you're not going to be able to.
Just me.
Can you do that?
Just me with my ass cheeks pushed up against the fucking edge of the pool.
Hashtag booty goals. I've got a pool. I'll take the photo for you. I'm willing to get this content for you.
Oh, shit.
Well, then, as always, to finish the episode, what is one piece of advice? And I don't even know who we're it's giving this so advice much. To, if it's like girls or guys, or what is one piece of advice then you would give to people in general about breakups, surviving a breakup?
Well, the thing that's worked for me is moving in with my mates, one of my best mates. Oh, fuck, that's hard. I feel like we've given, like, heaps of
I mean, because I've just given you four advice. Pieces of, like, invaluable advice about breaking up.
I was throwing shit back. Come on.
I know. Well, I'll try and think of one too then.
I think one piece of advice. I think just, like, fucking... There's, anyway, I mean, it's a hard thing. It's the shittest thing you could ever say to a woman, as any father would say. But, like, you just relax. Like, you got to just, you got to let it roll. Like, there's, like, I think an urgency, a tendency to want to, like, with anything, is, like, wanting to get shit over. Like, you've got your list of things there, like the group chat, rah, rah.
Yeah, that's so
true. All of those sound like a very quick succession of one leading to the other. Yeah. Like, you went group chat and then it was like, we're going to go out. I didn't like him anyway. Like, and then it's fucking girls' night out. Okay, now we're out now. And then it's get to the gym, get the revenge pod. Like, everything's quick, yeah. quick. We've got to be over it so quick. And it's like, you don't though. Like, you can just relax. Like, when you think about how you even got, if you want to get into a relationship again, which my other bit of advice would be no, you don't dive back into something straight after. Mm-mm. You've just gotten out of the pool. Relax. But I think, like, it's just take your time, because if you think of how you got into a relationship, how do most people end up in a fucking relationship? 9 times out of 10,
it's
the story
always
is
an
always
accident.
Like, I didn't mean to. I was having the best time ever being single. And
that's
then
why it's so annoying when someone so says annoying. To you. It'll happen when you least expect it, but it always does.
So it's like you just got to fucking relax. Chill.
I like that.
Follow the steps, but just be slow. Take your time.
I like that. So I'll just finish with mine then, which is, if you want to upload the photo, upload the photo. Don't you second guess me, no.
Confessions of a train wreck. If you haven't subscribed yet, hello, do it now. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, rate me and write a review. See you again next week for Trainwreck Tuesday.